Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. Another thing I want to say is I know we had an amazing time yesterday, 4th of July. Maybe you blew up part of your yard or whatever happened. You probably missed that we pushed out our digital discipleship piece. And so that is, you can go into our app or you can go online and hit the digital discipleship. And it's about a 4 to 7 minute video that just talks about how to follow Jesus. And so it really is a great, wonderful thing that you can grab midweek, whatnot. So don't forget to grab that and check out the digital discipleship. And then last but not least is we are so thankful for everybody that gives here. If you are feeling blessed by what's happening at Buckeye, we would urge you to take a look at what God's putting on your heart to help the mission that we have going on. There are multiple ways to give offerings. You can give on your way out. There are plates that you can drop off, checks and cash. But online is also an amazing, easy way to give. If you don't have the app, please go to your app store, type in Buckeye Christian Church, download the one with the logo with the leaf on it. That's us. And it really is a great way to give. Every dollar that is given here is to go out and build the kingdom. That's the whole point of everything. And we can't do that without you guys being so faithful. And we have been so blessed by you guys as the church to be able to keep going out and changing the world in God's name. So, but we are starting our new series this week called Send Me. And over this series, we're going to look at what it means to be sent by God. If you are able to see this in person, we have footprints on the wall. I need to let you know, it is not painted on there. We had somebody that was like, why would they paint that on the wall there? They didn't. Those are peel-offs. They just look amazing. They're flush. It's awesome. But the whole point is that we are being sent by God. And so our feet, we need to go and make that choice to follow him. But the truth is, we get a choice. You are allowed to follow God's calling, or you are allowed to ignore it completely. But when we ignore the calling from God, we are ignoring all the blessings that come with following the King of all. Now, saying, send me to God, this is something that can be super confusing, super polarizing. The thought of stepping up and saying, yes, God, I am here, use me. It can be super exciting and it can be super frightening all at the same time. And that is because when we say, send me, we have no clue exactly what we're signing up for. You are agreeing to allow God, the one who is all-knowing, the one who is all-powerful, the one that has the perfect plan, you're saying, I am allowing you to lead me. And when I say lead me, it could be something super small, something that takes us a little bit out of our comfort zone. Like you're going through the aisles of Target and you get this pull on your heart where God says, I want you to go say hi to him. And a lot of times we go, oh, no, God, that's crazy. You want me to say hi to a stranger? I'm not doing that. Or if you're anything like me, I'm out there probably doing some chore of like getting dog food, and I just really don't want to do that. And God puts it on my heart, and he's like, I want you to go say hi to this person. And I'm like, don't I talk to enough people and strangers? Like, didn't I finish, you know, my status quo that I needed? And God's kind of like, no, that's not how that works. But we get worked up because God wants to lead us in ways that we may not choose for ourselves. But we're going to be honest here. There are other possibilities that when you say yes to God and you say, lead me, and God goes, awesome. I'm so glad you're all in. Well, you know this life that you've built here? You know that house you have? That job? That part of the country that you live in that you love? Yeah, I'm going to want you to give it all up. And I want to send you the projects of LA to bring Jesus to rival gangs. And that's when we go, can I go say hi to a stranger in Target? Like, that sounds so much better. And it's, amen. But when that one comes, we have these crazy reactions. We have like a mixture of laughter and fear. We're like, you want me to do what? I don't know. Are you serious? You talking to me? And we start to say things like, no, that has to be my crazy brain coming up with these ridiculous scenarios, right? But truly, when we say to God, send me, we are saying, I am ready to follow you anywhere, any place, and any time. But there are a couple things that we have to take care of first. And so we're going to go ahead and look at what that is in Isaiah 6, Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some Bibles in the row, and we have a stack there in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8 are on page 470 in the Bibles that are provided. 470. Now, we're going to read Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, and you're going to go, what is happening here? I understand, and that's why we're going to flush it out and talk about what's being said. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. So the beginning of this sets a time period here. And I love it when they set a time period, because it's not just off of Jewish heritage. It's not just off of Christian belief. This is history, and it makes it so real. And so it starts off this chapter by mentioning the king of the time. His king was Uzziah, which we actually know he died in the year 739 BC. So about 800 years before Jesus came. And this king, he was known as one that started as a very young ruler. They believe that he was about 15 when he started, but he had a very good reign. It was mostly peaceful, lots of things that were done that benefited God's chosen people, the Jewish people, and he reigned for 52 years, which to us, we're like, okay, that's not super long. 52 years as a king back then was crazy awesome and amazing. So things were going pretty well for God's people. And now that that guy is gone, here comes Isaiah, who's getting a vision from God. And it starts off with recognizing who God is, the Lord. He is exalted. He is honored, he is holy, he is righteous, and he is seated on his throne. He is the king, not like Uzziah, but the king of all. He even has angels called seraphim that are crazy looking with all their different wings, and these are majestic beings that God has created, and they are worshiping the one true king. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. But it's not just a song. It says the sound was so booming that the doorposts and the whole place was shaking. This is almost like an earthquake is happening. In this shaking of the temple, it was so loud, these angels were crying out in booming voices, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And that's because that is who He is. Now take a moment here, because Isaiah is a real person, just like you and me. He does not have some superpowers. He's not holier than you are. Isaiah here, though, is having an encounter with God, and God shows Isaiah just how awesome he truly is. And if we're going to be honest, it is terrifying. And it would be. I would be on the floor screaming, "What is this? Everything is shaking around me. I can see his robe going through the whole temple, and it's all just this crazy stuff I've never seen." And I'd be wondering, have I lost my mind? Did a piece of the ceiling break off, hit me in the head, and I'm unconscious? Like, that sounds more believable than what's going on. And Isaiah had the same sort of thought process. He's like, "Yeah, this is happening, but this is crazy." He also knows that God is God and that he is nothing but a sinner. So in verse 5, he says, "Woe to me, I am ruined." This is a beautiful way to say, "I'm in big trouble. I'm not worthy. And guess what? I'm probably going to die here." That's what "woe to me, I am ruined" means. And it's all because he knows that God is awesome, that God is pure, and that God is all powerful. This is his freak out moment. And he says, "My mouth is unclean and my eyes have seen God." This is it. I'm done for. Now, if this moment happened to us today, we would also be saying, "Oh man, all the things that I have said, my words have not been used to glorify God. Actually, my words have been used to tear people down. My words have been used to be hurtful." And we're going to be honest here, I have said some really dumb things. And here I am standing in front of the Lord, with him. So flat out, I touch his lips. Again, I would be sitting there going, "What is happening?" Even the angel wasn't going to pick up this coal. He used a pair of tongs. And you're going to touch me with it? I'm not sure if Isaiah was just shocked and just let it all happen because he didn't know what else to do. Or would he be like me and he's going like this? He's dodging. I'm like, like, "Dude, that's going to hurt. Don't do that." But it does happen. The angel touches the lips of Isaiah, and he says to him, "Your guilt is taken away. Your sins, they're atoned for." This wasn't a question, "Have you sinned? Have you done things wrong?" No, no, no. Right now, you're being told, "You have sinned. You've done wrong against God. And there's a price to pay for your sins. And that price has to be paid for. And you should not have any more guilt of these things that you've done, because it's all forgiven." If this sounds familiar, it's because it's exactly what Jesus did for all of us, for all of time. But we're going to get into that more later. We're going to stick on to Isaiah for now. So then we read verse 8, and it says, "I heard the voice of the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?'" Again, it's another choice, another moment to choose. And I can imagine you're standing alone in a room and someone says, "So who's going to step up?" If you're like me, you're looking around and you're going, "Anybody? Oh, it's just me. That's not good. I don't really want to do that." But you're the only one there. And God is looking right at you and saying, "Who's going to step up?" And Isaiah, he responds in an amazing way. He says, "Here am I. Send me." But before he said, "Here am I, send me," Isaiah had to accept God. Isaiah had to accept forgiveness. Isaiah had to accept that God is holy and majestic and the one true king. Isaiah saw himself for who he really is, and that is just a sinful human. But God said, yes, you are human. Yes, you've done wrong. But God saying, I'm the one who can free you. I can free you from your guilt. I can free you from your shame, from your past, from your sins. And once we accept that truth, that God is all-powerful and he still wants to use us, imperfect people, that he is the only one who can love us and forgive us, that's when you'll be ready to say, here I am, send me. So now he has that question. Who am I going to send in my name? Who will follow my will and not their own? And we get this choice as well, to follow him through anything. And it's super easy for us to look at this and say, yeah, but, you know, like Isaiah, he had this amazing encounter with God. He was personally forgiven of his sins and guilt and shame. Well, guess what? So have we. I would dare say that we actually have it easier than Isaiah. We don't need a vision from God about being forgiven. And that's because God did it right here on this earth for us. He sent his one and only son, Jesus. He was born here. He lived here. He taught here. He chose to die here for us, and he rose again. And then we have these amazing writings that God inspired these men to write down, and we are still following them 2,000 years later. And what is even more amazing is that Jesus was one and done. You didn't need to keep going back. You didn't need to say, well, I've got this chunk of sins I got to get rid of again. No, you are forgiven of your sins, all of them. The ones from the past and the ones in the future. We are told over and over again that those who accept Jesus are not condemned. You are redeemed. You are saved. And it's not because you're good enough. It's not because you've earned it. But it's a free gift from God. And then we follow him by being baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And then we get God living inside of us. The Holy Spirit, who is God, is living inside of you when you accept him. And he lives right there with us every day. He talks to us. He leads us. We get God right here personally, always with us. Our story is so much easier than Isaiah's. But we are just like Isaiah in this story. Because after we've been forgiven of our sins, God says the same thing. Follow me. Who will answer the call? Who will I send in my name? And Jesus said it best at the end of the book of Matthew. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to follow God's commands. Okay, this is from God. This is your new assignment. Here is the place. This is how. This is what you're going to accomplish. These are the things that are going to change in your life, that are going to change with your job and your house and your family or whatever it is. And we can look at this and go, oh, I see what you're doing, God. And then we'll make our decision and we'll say, nah, I'm good. Let's be honest. I see the contract. I'm not going to sign this one. There's just too much that I don't want to do. Or we'll look at the contract and we'll say, yeah, this seems easy enough. I could do that. But let's be honest. If that's how God worked, it brings up a really hard question we have to ask ourselves. If you need everything explained to you about what God's plan is and what he wants to do, where is your faith in God? Because we're not having faith in him. We're not saying, God, I know you're good. God, I know your plans are better than mine. What are we saying? I want control. I want the ability to choose. I want to know the future before I actually commit to something. No, we should be saying, I'm all in for you. Whatever you say, God, I'm there. Whatever you want, God, I will follow. And that is what God is asking from you. He says, have faith in me. And when we put our faith in him, it's amazing. you will find yourself free. So the question is, what was Isaiah even agreeing to? Because we didn't read that part. We only read what he saw, what happened, and then him saying, I'm all in. Well, if we keep reading, we get to see what the mission from God is. Let's keep reading Isaiah 6, 9 through 13. Isaiah 6, 9 through 13. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, for how long, Lord? And he answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. Again, when we say yes to God, we are saying, whatever your will, whatever your plan, let me be an instrument for you. And it was not always easy, and it won't always be easy. You may not know what to do, but that is what God wants. He wants you to do what He tells you to do, not what you think you should do, and not to do how you think it should be done. Because let's be honest, when we get some missions from God, we think, yeah, but I think this is a better way to take care of this. No, no, no. Follow what He says. And here Isaiah is flat out told, hey, the Jews, the Israelites, God's chosen people, yeah, they're not listening to God. And guess what? I'm going to send you to them, and they're not going to listen to you. You're to tell them that their hearts are hard to God, that their hearts are hardened to the truth. But you're supposed to keep telling them about God. But they're going to ignore you. That does not sound like a fun job. It's almost asking, why am I going? What is the point, Lord? You're telling me to go to these people and they're not even going to listen? And God is saying, yes, go. If you don't know, that's not a fun task. That's not an easy one. And it's not going to go over well. And if you keep reading through Isaiah, the people are not very happy with him. But Isaiah responds with, so how long is this going to go on? Like, how many years? And God responds in a rough way. Oh, yeah, so it's going to keep going this way until everything is destroyed and left in ruin. Oh, this sounds like a great mission, God. Send me, send me. Like, we're not jumping at the bit to do that. No way. You're telling me we're going to a place where everything's going to fall apart and be destroyed, and that's my job? Hey, they're not going to like that. But God had a purpose, and He actually reveals it to Isaiah. He says, even though we're going to cut down this mighty tree that we see that is Israel, that King Uzziah has built up, going to get cut down to only a stump. It's going to have the base. It's going to have the core. The foundation will still remain, but it's just a reflection of what it used to be. But that's okay, because this foundation that remains, the Savior is going to come from this, which we know is that the Jews are going to have a rough time coming up, which they did. And that many will not actually follow God, which they didn't. But it's okay, because it paves the way for Jesus to come. And we get a nice little spoiler alert. We get to see how it ends. Poor Isaiah, he was 800 years before the Messiah came. He never got to see it come to fruition. He just kept working. He just kept arguing. He kept being sent by God to give bad news. And they were like, dude, you got to stop. But for us, we go, no, 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 you have to listen to Isaiah. He's right. No, no, you got to listen because he's a reflection of Jesus to come, the Savior to come, the Messiah to come. You have to understand this is so important. It may look like gloom and doom, but it is the best thing that has ever happened to the world. But it all comes down this week. It all depends on where you are in your understanding of God. If you are trying to find out who God is, I'm going to tell you, keep seeking him. Keep seeking the truth. He's here. He is standing at the door. He is knocking. You need to open that door and see who God really is. Not what others are telling you who God is. Not what you're finding on the internet. I want you to truly seek out God and the truth. And for those who have accepted him, it is time for us to say blindly, God, lead me wherever, whenever, and however you like, because I am yours. But we're going to be honest here. You have to be close to him to know what he wants. If you are living a life away from him, how can you know what he's asking you to do? So what can we do? We need to pray to him. We need to praise him often in the good and the bad. We need to read his words right here. If you don't have a Bible, someone gives them away. You missed it. You need to spend time with fellow believers. You need to always be drawing closer to him so he can lead you. I'm going to tell you now, as we go through this Send Me series, it is going to be so challenging because what we are saying is, God, you are in control and I am all yours. I am here. Send me. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity you gave us to be together, to learn from your word, to say, yes, Lord, I am here. Send me. We hear your call. Sometimes we are very distracted. Sometimes we are lost. But when we focus on you, we will never be led astray. You're not trying to control us. You're not trying to beat us down. You're trying to free us. And we get to serve the King of all, the one true King. I pray that we will answer that call, that we will follow you faithfully, that we will say, I don't know the plans you have, but I will stick with you through it all. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.